Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, once again to another show. This is the RF Sports Radio Show. I'm your host, RF, and we are coming to you live on Tuesday night. It is November the 30th, the last day in November, getting ready going to December. As you guys know, December is a huge sports month because we're rolling with the NFL, getting ready for the playoffs. Teams are starting to really show their identity. We're going to get ready to find out who's going to make the playoffs. And, of course, we're getting into the NBA action as well. So we're going to be talking a lot about that in the month of December. But we want to close out the month of November with a big bang. So welcome, everyone, to the RF Sports Radio Show. If you're new to the show, you're tuning in for the first time, and if you're listening to us live right now, make sure you call in, voice your opinions at any time if you hear anything at all that you want to comment on. And that number is 323-927-2906. That's 323-927-2906. If you're downloading the show, if you want to download the show at a later date, always go to iTunes and download RF Sports Radio or go to blogtalkradio.com/RF Sports. Download us there. Follow us on the blog. And our blog is rfsportsradio.blogspot.com. That's rfsportsradio.blogspot.com. We got a lot of stuff to cover tonight. So without further ado, let's bring on our co-host real quick, our co-pilot here. Royce, welcome to the program. How you doing tonight?
Hey, right now it's going go, man. Like they took a page out of the Rangers playbook. It's something to get excited about. I'm excited about the Mavs. Man, they've been on the road lately.
Yeah, how about them, I agree with you. We're going to talk a lot of Mavs tonight too, Royce. I mean, we're going to got to talk about them in the Miami Heat, the big stories that came out of that game. Of course, there was the infamous game now where the bump between LeBron James and Coach Eric Spoelstra happened. We were there. We were live. We got the first reaction from both the coach and LeBron. So you guys can hear that interview in its entirety tonight. And, of course, the Mavs keep rolling. They won 4 out of 5 last week against some top teams. Then they go to last night and win against the Houston Rockets, a team that's struggling, but it's one of those games, Royce, where it's a catch game. You know, you beat all the top teams, San Antonio, you beat New Orleans, you beat Miami, and then you get a team like Houston that's a subpar team, but that's a trap game, though, right?
Yeah, you're right. You know, in order to get to the playoffs, you got to go through Texas first, especially the Mavs. They got to go through San Antonio and go through Houston. And Houston is no joke. I mean, you know, I know this team's kind of beat up a little bit. They missed, yeah, I mean, but it's still a dangerous team. It's one of those games you have to win, especially at home game.
And they came in without no Yao Ming, without Aaron Brooks, and the Mavs are able to pull out that game as well, too. So we'll definitely have to talk a lot about that. We're going to get into some NFL action. We'll find out who won our picks this week. We'll, of course, be joined by our usual suspects. It'll be Chosen. It'll be Rick. We'll talk about the picks we made over the weekend. And, Royce, I think you're going to be happy about these picks this time.
Yeah, I think I was number one again.
Well,
yes,
we'll see.
I told y'all I got the broom out. I'm getting ready to sweep. The rest of the season, I plan on sweeping.
Okay. Well, let's get to the top story. And we actually were there for this story. Let's talk about the Mavs first. Now, the Mavs took on the Miami Heat Saturday night. It was a real electric atmosphere. The stars were out. I saw Miles Austin walking around. I saw a lot of Cowboy players walking around. I even saw Young Jeezy, of all people here for the game. He was in town for a concert. He was here sitting on the floor as well. So everybody was out. Everybody was pumped up. And the coach at the beginning of the pregame show, Royce, was talking about how enthusiastic his team was and want to close out this 4 out of 5 games real close. And they were able to do that. I mean, the Mavs won handily 106-95. They beat the Heat, and the Heat only had 3 players in double figures, and we all know what 3 players that were.
Well, yeah.
But the Mavs
had
6 players in double figures. They out-rebounded the Heat. They had great defense. They even ballooned the score up to 17 points during the third quarter. So they actually beat them by more than that. Now, you saw this game as well, too, Russ. I mean, what about the Mavs that you saw that was really encouraging about what they were able to do against a team like Miami?
Actually, they should have won a game by 20 points. But I saw a lot of defense, and I saw this team step it up. I tell you what, Chandler has been a force on the inside, man. We hadn't had rebounding like that, I think, on the Mavericks team whatsoever. I mean, even his offense has gotten better. And not to mention Jerron Butler, he's just been showing out lately. He's been on fire. So, you know, we needed that in this organization because, you know, Dirk can't carry the load every night. So we do have the big three here. I call them Jason Terry, Dirk Nowitzki, and Butler. If we get those three going, we have the big three here in Big D.
But I agree.
Other than the three stars, Jerron was huge that game.
He led the Mavericks with 23 points. Dirk had 22. And he even kept going into the Monday game against the Houston Rockets. We'll talk about that performance he put on Monday. But you're absolutely right. I mean, we're developing a big three of our own. You're absolutely correct. And it's got to be Karan. It's got to be Dirk. And it's got to be Tyson Chandler. Tyson Chandler's been huge for this team. All the others we played for the Mavs this season, Royce, they've all talked about how big Tyson Chandler is and how emotional he can be and how he sparks the team. As well, we actually talked to him about that a lot last show, about him and how emotional he plays with. But, you know, the other story from this game was the fact that the Heat, and after this game, they were actually 9-8 after this game. They did win. They did beat Washington this week, last night also. So they went to 10-8. But his team was 9-8. And everyone wants to know what's wrong with the Heat, why they're not gelling. And during the fourth quarter, they were getting ready to go into a timeout, and LeBron James noticeably bumped Eric Spoelstra. Now, to me, it didn't look like a big deal. It was kind of a heat-of-the-moment deal, but everybody made such a big fuss about it, wanted to know exactly what it was. And, Royce, from what you saw, what do you think? You think it was a big deal? Was it just, you know, congestion, they couldn't get through, or what happened?
Well, you never know. These guys, you know, they were pretty hot by that time. But other than the big three in Miami, you know, they don't have anybody else. You know, Hassler's out. He's not healthy. He's not playing. And other than that, I just see regular second stringers on the bench. I don't see anybody that's stepping up, that's coming off the bench to give them the support they need. But other than the big three, they really don't have anybody else.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Let's listen to some comments from Coach Eric Spoelstra right after the game. Of course, we were live. We were there. We got this audio right after it happened. Now, we asked him as the media, we asked him about the bump from LeBron. We asked him just about what you were talking about the bench play, and why this team is not winning. Why haven't they been able to gel, you know, so immediately with three, you know, all-stars on their team like this? And I want everyone to listen real closely just to the comments of what Eric has to say, Coach Spoelstra has to say real quick. This is live on the RS Sports Radio Show, Coach Eric Spoelstra, after the Heat loss and right before the players-only meeting.
Right now, it's got to be painful enough. As the pain that we felt there in the fourth quarter, we have to have that pain, and we have to carry that with us and do something about it in other parts of the game and sustain it to make a change. And so we feel that pain and accept it enough to make a change, these will be the results.
What happened at the start of the third quarter there?
Well, we missed shots, and that affected our defensive energy. And that will happen. At times, regardless of what you do, man, zone, whatever, you may miss some shots. But that cannot dictate your energy or your disposition down on the defensive end. We had a rough start to the third quarter. We competed there at the end. I don't have an issue with the fourth quarter and battling back, but we had other opportunities to keep that game close enough to really have a legitimate chance to win there at the end.
Eric, you guys got back into the fight in the fourth, but during the third, there were clearly some frustrating moments.
Yeah, yeah. That's,
no timeout.
Yeah, that's the way it should be.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the sort of bump between you and LeBron during the timeout. I mean, did you notice that when it happened, or was it?
No.
You were coming off into the court. He was coming off. You guys bumped into each other. At the end of that timeout, Chris Bosh was sort of, you know, animated.
Good. Yeah, I think we all were in the timeouts, and that's the way it should be. This shouldn't be fun out here, and it was painful to go through a third quarter like that. And if guys feel that pain, good. I want them to. And again, the guys. in the huddles and in the fourth quarter, I don't have a problem with that. There was a fight. The guys wanted to get back into the game, but, hey, we dug ourselves too big of a hole at that point. Sure, we made multiple efforts to stick with it and show some resolve and still battle back. But that type of spirit and competitiveness, we need to sustain that where that is an absolute habit every single possession of the game, particularly if you're trying to win in a tough place like this.
Could you talk a little bit about the depth, issues surrounding the depth? You got three guys really putting up some very large numbers and maybe some concerns below that.
Yeah, we got enough. We have enough. Enough guys can contribute. It has nothing to do with that. Fatigue was not at all an issue in the third quarter.
How do you gauge the difference between chemistry and just things that are going wrong? Like, you guys still being young, trying to figure things out.
Hey, we're 17 games in. We will figure this out. All right. The fact that guys are upset about this, that is a sign to start a change. We've been knocking on this door several times. Now this is six games where, it comes down to the end. But it's your habits of how you play and compete every single possession. We're not there yet, but we will. The guys care in that locker room, and that's a great place to start.
Any rivalries, anything for the passion not coming to late?
I don't know. If I knew that, we would have been able to put together a better third quarter. The guys care. They want to make it work. Part of it, I understand, is a process. But our next step forward is to remember this pain and to transfer that accordingly to our next game and every possession. Okay?
All right, guys. Now, you guys just heard some comments live from Coach Eric Spoelstra right after the Miami Heat lose to the Dallas Mavericks to go 9-8 on the season. And this is right before or during this players-only meeting. Now, Royce, let me bring you back on real quick because you got a chance to hear this audio right here. Let me ask you real fast. I mean, you heard him talk about the bump. He didn't think it was a big deal. But one word right. He mentioned a lot during that interview was pain. He said how painful it is to lose. Right. Now, who's feeling the pain? Is it the players that he sees is feeling the pain, or is it him thinking that maybe he's going to lose his job pretty soon?
I think it's a little bit of both. And my question is how soon before Pat Riley take over this team? They keep losing like this. We know it's just a matter of time. And the question is, I think the whole team is it's painful for both the coach and the players because so much was expected of this team. You know, when the announcement by LeBron James came, he was going to Miami, the expectation was so big, and he almost guaranteed them victories. Now, you know, not just one, but several. And at the rate they're going, it'd be a long time before they get there. And I think the expectation was so high for this team, and to have the record they have now is really disappointing. And I tell you what, I can't wait till they go to Cleveland. I guarantee you LeBron James will carry this team not to lose in Cleveland tomorrow, Thursday night, right.
This right. Now, you heard him talk about the bench, he said, and you brought this up before we played the audio, about them not having any kind of other players, any role players.
Right.
And when we asked him about the bench, the first thing he said was, we got enough players. I mean, why would he say that? He knows he doesn't have enough players.
Well, I think he meant he had enough players on the bench to fill the roster. But other than that, I don't see anybody, I looked at the bench. You know, I looked all the way up and down the bench. You know, other than House, I don't see anybody that they come out there and can contribute. And I haven't seen anybody. Right.
And, you know, as you know, they did add Eric Dampier. Eric Dampier made his debut back at American Airlines Center for another team. He did play that game. He was not effective. But, of course, we know that's the case with Eric Dampier. They do have Jerry Stackhouse. He wasn't that effective either. Again, this team has a lot of problems. Now, you know, to finish this story out, right after this happened, Royce, it was 45 minutes before we were allowed to go into the locker room the players were having a players-only, quote-unquote players-only meeting. Now, from where I was standing at outside, I could audibly hear the players talking, arguing, yelling, fighting, cussing. I could hear it, right there in the hallway, so I knew something was going on. But it took them 45 minutes to finally come out, and then once we got into the locker room, we were notified that LeBron, Chris, and Dwayne Wade will be doing their comments from the press, from the interview room.
Right.
So they're doing it in the locker room like every other team in the NBA. Now, when these
right.
guys came
That's
out,
right.
I thought this was really interesting. They actually put up their own banner behind the players. They blocked out all
right.
the mass stuff, put up all Heat stuff. If you guys go to our blog at rsportsradio.blogspot.com, you can see the pictures that I took right there during the press conference. And this is when we found out that they had a players-only meeting. So we asked LeBron, you know, why the meeting now? Why are you having it now? What's the reasoning for it? And Chris Bosh never came out and made any comments, even though this is his hometown.
No, he never did.
Dallas, Texas. He never came out and made any comments. LeBron and Wade did all the speaking for the team. They did it both together. So now I'm going to play the audio from that press conference with LeBron right after the players-only meeting in its entirety. You guys go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/RFSportsRadio. You can see or hear this audio there and see the pictures from that press conference as well. But listen really close, guys. If you're tuning into the show, listen to what he says about the team, about the players-only meeting, and also you hear a couple of other things in there. They asked him about the Michael Jordan video, all this in this, in this wrap-up interview here. So this is the RF Sports Radio Show. This is LeBron and Dwayne Wade after the players-only meeting.
This team meeting where everybody got an opportunity to get off what they had on their chest or what they had in their head about us figuring things out. Right now, we are 9-18, and we have to own up to that. You know, does our record speak of what team we can become? No, I don't think so. But right now, we are 9-8 because we've been playing like that, and we have to figure this thing out, which we will. Can't do that. Just know that we had some deep things to say to one another that got out, which was we needed it.
The players or coaches too?
No, just straight players.
What? Why now?
I just felt like we needed it. It was just sometimes just a feel. We haven't had a team only meeting at the 9-8. Not even just the record, like you said, the way we've been playing. We've been playing like we're 9-8. And it just felt like it was a time, needed. And, this is a new team. It's a new group of guys. And, guys need to understand and know each other and get to hear each other talk. And I think we all feel better, after the talk we had.
Dwayne, how particularly tough is this on you? It's tough for everybody, but particularly you. This was your team. These guys came to Miami to play with you. How tough is it for you to sit here right now and see this team in 9-8?
Well, it's tough because I know the potential of this team. I know where my vision that I had when this team was put together. But my championship team was 10-10. I've been a part of of it when it's great, and I've been a part of in Miami when it's not so great. But I understand you have to stay the course. So the bigger picture is always lost. It's always about the immediate, and right now we need to focus on, the immediate. But, I understand my championship team was 10-10, and it took a loss here in Dallas, before we got things going. So I have those experiences that I've always go back to.
Could you talk just a little bit about how you see the Mavericks doing right now, sir?
They're doing okay. They're doing good. I think we're 6 in a row now. The Mavericks always play well, this team. I think last year when they made the trade, they didn't play as well as they, everyone thought because it takes time. And now they've been playing together for a while. You can see it all come together. And it's a good ball club. They're going to win 50-plus games in the regular season and, contest in the Western Conference with the best teams.
How do you guys distinguish what camaraderie, what's, trying to mesh and what's wrong? You understand what I'm saying, bro? Between the both?
Well, it's tough because like D-Waste, I've been on my first 3 years where things was unbalanced and you're winning games, you're not winning games. But I've also been on the side where the camaraderie was great off the floor, and it was made it much easier for us on the court when we got on the court. Now it's gonna take time. We understand that because it's a team that is new to each other, and it's gonna take time. But things that we could do right now is go out there and just play, play hard, don't have any lapses. And, I think the fact that we know we're so talented individually, we feel like we can have lapses at times, which is, not the key, So we're looking forward to this next
stint, and we're going to try to put this behind us.
Champ, what's the key tonight? Not stopping the boys from Big D from putting the pickle in the pickle barrel in that third quarter?
What? Bro, what are your thoughts on that Michael Jordan commercial, man? You get a chance to see it?
No,
he
no
did a
voiceover
of what you did tonight.
I haven't seen it.
Dwayne, you said, obviously that 10-10 team, that championship team also had to have some internal changes, too. I mean, are you guys worried that eventually somebody's going to have to be accountable? If it's not you, it might be the coaches. It might not, you know.
Us as players, we're accountable. You know, I never would put anything on a coach. Win, lose, or draw, because, you know, they can give us a game plan, but they're not on the court playing. And, I think with this team, especially with the IQ of this team, you know, we are smart enough to make adjustments on the floor, on the fly. And I don't think we're doing that as much as we want to. You know, now it's time to, you know, take ownership up to this is our team, you know. And, you know, even though we respect our coach for what they do, but, you know, their job is to get us ready for the game. When the game starts, it's our job. From that point to lead the game and be leaders, and so not really. I don't worry about internal. I don't worry about changes. You know, I can't control them. Only thing we control is our efforts and the way we play.
Are you getting a sense of how much people are enjoying the fact that you guys are struggling out of the gate the way you are?
Of course,
yeah, love it.
Of course,
it's great.
Were you expecting it?
Of course. I mean, win, lose, or draw, people are gonna say if we were 17-0, they should be 17-0. And you know, if we're only 17, they'll love it too. So. It's not the end of the world for us, but we know we can play better. I mean, we are our own critics at this point. I mean, we 9-8, and the crazy thing is, in Eastern Conference, I mean, 5th seed, 6th seed, I don't know. The 2-game winning streak, you could be the 3rd seed or 2nd seed in Eastern Conference. We're our own critics right now, and we know we're not playing to the capability that we should be doing. So, you know, tomorrow is the day off, get an opportunity to sit back with our families, enjoy it. Watch a little football and then get back to work on Monday.
You don't have.
And that was LeBron James and Dwayne Ray right after the players only meeting in the locker room at the AAC after the Mavs beat them by 11 points. Royce, we got a lot to react to after the interview. A couple of things that I heard that pointed out to me, and then a little after you guys heard in the middle was one of the local sports guys here. Tom Gribble with 1310 The Ticket doing his little stick with the 1920s reporter deal. But, you know, one of the things that stuck out to me was the fact that they said it was a players-only meeting. And Dwayne Wade even said that the team that he was on that won the championship was 10-10. I mean, is that the right attitude to have with a team? I mean, that team that was 10-10 is not as talented as this team they have right now, is it?
No, nowhere near. And, you know, it's interesting to see. You know, it's a long season. I like to see where this team is by All-Star break, you know, determine what direction they're going. But, you know, it's, I always say it's not how you start, it's kind of how you finish. So it's still early. And, you know, I know it takes a while. You got new players, new team. But to me, and what I see wrong with this team is that too busy trying to, you know, help each other out or contribute to the other player. Nobody's really playing this game. Even LeBron James is not playing like LeBron James. I think if they ever get back to playing like they should, then the flow may come and they may get better. But if coaching is going to be anything like football, I wonder if we're going to see a lot of coaches getting fired. There's going to be some changes like it happened in football. And I know if they keep losing, it's just a matter of time for Pat Riley to take over his team. You know, it's happened before. Gundy, Van Gundy.
Yeah.
So it does fall on the coach, and it does fall on the players. But like I said, this team was expecting so much of them, and it hadn't happened yet. And it's interesting to see what the outcome of this comes. You know.
Now, one thing else I want to ask you about is you heard, and he mentioned that the responsibility falls on them as players. But LeBron has been taking this attitude lately of, hey, we're in the Eastern Conference. Even though we're 9-8, we're still, you know, 5-6 seed in the playoffs if they started right now, and we'll be okay. I mean, what do you think about that attitude to have? Well, you know, my team is barely over 500, but we're fine as long as we get in the playoffs, we're okay. You think that's a safe attitude, a safe mentality to have?
Well, you know, either way, it's how you look at it. You know, and LeBron knows, well, they're not in first and they're not in last, and somewhere in the middle. And the thing is to get in one of those 8 spots. Because once you get to the playoff, everybody's equal. It doesn't matter what your record is. And as long as you make those 8 spots, that's all that matters. And these, you know, as long as they fit in there, one of those eight spots, I think they'd be all right. So it's really not a bad attitude. There. A lot of teams wish they could get in that eighth spot.
Right, right. Yeah, I thought that was definitely interesting. Let's bring a caller on the line real quick. And, caller, I'm identify you by the last four digits of your phone number here, 6037. You're live on the RS Sports Radio Show. Caller, you're live on there. Did you listen to some of the audio from the LeBron James and Dwayne Wade postgame comments?
Oh, yeah, what's going on, everybody out there at the RF Sports Show? Much love.
What's going on? This is welcome on Chosen to the program. Chosen, you know you're on anytime there, buddy. Now, some of the stuff that you heard, I mean, what do you take away from what these guys were talking about? I mean, from LeBron talking about, hey, we're still in good standing, from Dwayne Wade saying, hey, the responsibility falls on us as players. From what you just heard, I mean, what do you take away from this players-only meeting?
Well, I just like to say that I feel like, you know, what I predicted to all of my friends in my little circle was going to happen. You know, you put that much talent together and you have to develop a chemistry. I mean, how many years did you see Shaq and Kobe not get the job done until real coaching came in? And I said from the beginning, you know, when they came to the team, Pat Riley was going to come out and coach, and everybody said, nah. Well, when you get a group of talented players together like that, I mean, that's what you're going to have. I didn't hear ego, but what I did hear was is that, hey, we don't know what we're doing yet.
Right.
That's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put
right.
it. Now we do. We must say that at the next game that these guys had, they did play the Washington Wizards. They did win that game. More stuff came out about this players-only meeting. It did come out that Spoelstra, the coach, actually told LeBron that, hey, you need to quit playing around so much. And actually, him and LeBron had the most heated discussion of anybody in the room. They did have a meeting, just one-on-one of them two together. After that incident, they've since kind of patched things up, so to speak. But teams go through that kind of stuff all the time. Let's bring on another caller real quick. And, Chose, I want you to stay where you're at because I want to get your comments on some other stories as well, too. Caller, identify you by the last four digits of your phone number, 6979. You're live on the RS Sports Radio Show.
Hello, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Doing good. Who are we speaking with?
This is John Schuler.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Hey, I wanted to weigh in on the topic. I feel that Dwayne Wade is the major problem with the team. He's out of shape. He's complaining a lot with his attitude.
Right.
His fundamentals is not there right now. He's jumping in the air a lot on his passes, and he's having high turnover games. He's missing free throws. And I really believe that he's supporting Coach Spo because Coach Spo spoils him. He's not playing up to the MVP finals level that he played 3 or 4 years ago. And that's my opinion on what's wrong with the Heat right now. And they also need Udonis Haslam, and they also need Mike Miller right now.
Right. You know, you're absolutely right about that. He hadn't been playing up to his potential. And you know, it's typical Wade. He's usually hurt 3 or 4 weeks out of the season anyway. He's not going to play a whole season. He hadn't done that in a while. And I think that he's trying too hard, and he's not like playing like the Dwayne Wade of old. He looks like he just changed his game completely. I see the same thing with LeBron. It looks like they're trying to please each other to me.
Well, let me ask you real quick, John, while we have you on. I want to thank you for calling on the show as well, too. And the comments you heard afterwards, you heard basically Dwayne Wade take ownership of the team. I mean, we asked him, hey, this is your team. How do you feel about the way things are working right now? He brought up the fact that the team he won the championship on was 10-10. So he's saying a slow start is fine. I mean, what do you think about them starting so slow? I mean, with all the hype that surrounded this team before they got started in the season.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal with the slow start, but I do think that they don't have the same talent level that they had on that championship team. So if he's relying on that experience, I think he's going to fall on his face with that thought, because they're not putting out the same effort. They're not having fun. and it's not looking good right now. They don't have the right coach in place. So I believe they will be a good team by the end of this year, but they still don't have the talent or the coaching to get it all done.
Yeah, I think that's the question. How soon before Pat Riley really steps out of the front office and onto the court? We'll definitely see about that. But thank you, John, for calling in, man.
All right, thank you.
Okay. And, of course, everybody wants to stay in on the – go ahead, Royce.
Now, I was going to ask what do y'all think about this math team?
Oh, yeah,
you know,
we got to talk about them.
Right, right.
Now, the Mavs, they went on a hot streak last week. They won 4 out of 5, which included that Miami Heat game. Last night, the show, we were at the Rockets game, and they beat the Rockets handily as well. They actually had the Rockets up by 20 in the fourth quarter. They let them get a late run with some of the second team in there. But they did win the game 101-91. They should have won by 20 this game, too. But this game here was a trap game. We talked about that earlier in the program, Royce, just being a trap game because it's hard to get up for a team like, you know, the Rockets came in 5-11. So after you play these other top teams, it's kind of hard to kind of get focused and keep that emotion to play a team like the Rockets. But they did do that. Caron Butler was huge this game. He had 13 straight points in the third quarter that really gave them a huge lead. I mean, he was on fire. Everything he put up was going in the basket,
yeah.
Period.
All over the court.
All over the court. You're absolutely right. So we did get some audio for this game. Let's listen real quick to Coach Carlisle and his thoughts after the Mavs beat the Rockets last night at AAC.
Well, you know, we're trying to play well. We want to get leads. You know, we want to put teams away when we can. And our third quarter is the last. Couple games have been very good, and you know, if we can be a good third quarter team, that's always going to be a good thing in this league. You know, the game was we play a persistent team, so you got to stay in there and keep battling. You know, they challenge you on every possession at both ends, and so you know, our first quarter was so-so. We were a little better in the second, better in the third, and then you know. Unfortunately, you know, ended the game poorly with an 11-0 run, which is disappointing. But it's a good win, and you know, we had minutes were you know very reasonable. So we got to get some work in tomorrow, and then get ready for Wednesday.
Caron Butler in the third quarter was set by design, and didn't just have a hand.
Well, you know, when a guy gets going, you know, our guys do a good job of finding him. We're not doing a ton of play calling right now. You know, Jason Kidd, it had a lot to do with the way he got going out there. They had some stuff going amongst themselves that was really effective. And, you know, when he gets a hot hand, you know, he's really tough to get under control. So that was great. You know, Marion had another really good all-around game. His rebounding was terrific. And, you know, Bray's penetration was big. You know, so, look, it's a good win. And, again, I was disappointed with the way it ended. I just, you know, you don't like giving up 11-0 run at the end of the game when your team is trying to stop people. But, you know, we'll take it and move on.
That was Coach Carlisle right after the game last night against the Rockets. Royce, now, you saw this game as well, too. Your Caron was on fire. But I mean, this team really—I mean, they could have fell victim to a team like the Rockets. But what did you see that was really encouraging about them having enough emotion, enough drive to not fall to a trap in this game?
Well, you know, those are the games that in the past they used to lose, and it's nice to see them win. And you know, they knew a motto this year: defend our house, and that goes for you. Got to get up for the big games. You got to get up for the little games. And I like that motto, and I hope they can keep it up. That's been our problem, you know, losing at home and the up-and-down season, winning big games and turn around and lose to a mediocre, below 500 team the next night. So go Mavs, and I like that. And I hope they keep it up.
Yeah, definitely. Mavs on the road. We got callers lining up on whatever want to get lined up. We're going to talk about a lot about the Mavs. We got more audio on the show coming up from Caron Butler. I have a one-on-one interview that I did with Jason Kidd coming up as well, too. And we get the elusive Mavs GM Donnie Nelson answer some tough questions. I had to ask him about a couple of things. So, college, you get lined up. We're going to talk about the Mavs here real quick. Our NBA analyst, Rick, will be joining us on the program a little bit later on as well. Chose, I know he's still there as well. So let's go to a quick commercial break, and we'll get back and talk about the Mavs. It's the RF Sports Radio Show.
What's up out there with it, world?
What's up with it?
It's your boy Chosen. Man, and I'm back in the building, you dig? And for all of y'all that haven't already done it, you know what I'm saying? Go out there and join IcebreakerProductions.com right now. Support your favorite ICE artist right now. You know what I'm saying? Get a ringtone, get a t-shirt, buy the calendar right now. Or you can even pick up a teddy bear. You know what I'm talking about? We got everything.
Got everything.
Every Wednesday, y'all need to be checking out the Icebreaker Radio Show at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time.
7 p.m.
Where can you hear it? IcebreakerProductions.com. You know what I'm saying? Scroll down to about the middle of the page and click on the player, and you got us. You know what I'm saying? And if that ain't working for you, hop on iTunes and listen to us on the podcast. I ain't tripping. You know, you can get us on anywhere. And if you really want to know what's going down at all times with Icebreaker Productions, you got to follow us on Twitter at Icebreaker Radio. And if you're a Facebook lover, hit us up, Icebreaker Productions. You know what to do. And for all of y'all that like them live, fresh videos, you know you can follow us on the YouTube channel, Chosen972.
Right
now. If you're still in the old school and, you know what I'm saying, you still on MySpace, hit us up, 972. We ain't tripping. And without further ado, we're going to go ahead and hop into this album, the reason that you're hearing my voice.
Uh-huh.
You like one of these artists, you know what I'm saying? So get your jam on, get your lean on.
Yeah.
And I'll be back at you later on in the future with more ICE announcements. Already.
And we're back on the RF Sports Radio Show. We're talking Mavs. We're talking NBA action. We're talking Miami Heat. If you guys are just not tuning in, go back and listen to the show. We played the LeBron James and Dwayne Wade audio in its entirety. Also, Coach Spoelstra audio in its entirety as well. Let me welcome on the program real quick, Royce, before we get started talking about the Mavs, our resident NBA analyst and NFL analyst for that matter. Rick, let me bring you on the program real quick, man. Rick, what's going on?
Hey, RF, what's going on? Royce, how you doing?
Hey, Rick.
Hey, how's it going, y'all? Chosen,
going
what's going
good,
on?
Man.
Chosen still up?
Yeah, Chosen, Chosen's there. He's there. Well, let me ask
how's
you real
going?
Quick. Let me ask you real quick, Rick. Now, you saw this Mavs and Rockets game. The Mavs beat the Rockets pretty handily. Caron Butler was on fire. I mean, tell us a little bit about Caron. What do you like about his game? What do you think he's been the reason? Because he had the most points against the Heat. He had 23. He had 19 last night. He's been one of the top scorers. Is Caron that other player? Is he the guy that's going to be right there scoring point for point with Dirk?
Well, I think Caron Butler definitely has the potential to be. The good thing about Caron Butler, in my opinion, is, you know, he's a killer. You know, he's very aggressive, you know, and that's whether he's scoring or not. You know, Caron Butler is usually aggressive, you know, and that's one good thing. That's one good thing you would want out of one of your scoring options.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with you on that. Let's listen to a little bit about what Dirk had to say about the game. He talks a lot about Caron and the streak he got on in that third quarter.
We got stops and just pushed the ball up and let Jay Kidd do all the play calls, and he did a good job getting him off screens, posting him some, and he just got in his own there. He's against one of the best defenders on the small forward position with Battier, and he's still he's cooking out there, making stuff happen, coming off screens, off the dribble, step backs, and then that's great.
You know, Caron's had trouble getting going this year, and, you know, then he had the injury, had to kind of get back in the flow. What kind of a difference does it make for you guys when he is scoring the way he did the last couple? Not just the points have been up as efficient as he's doing it.
Well, the offense comes easier, obviously. Other guys come up with four shots when he's rolling. We can spread the ball around the way we want to. We've been playing out of flow a lot, even in San Antonio in the fourth quarter, or even in Oklahoma, usually in the fourth quarter when things get tighter, you call plays, but we haven't. Everybody's been getting catches on the move. I think that's when we're tough to start, when Jet's on the move in the break and Caron comes off screen shooting.
Now, Russ, what do you think? You heard Dirk talk about how J.K. was setting him up, and he was basically just knocking it down. I mean, you think Karan is going to be that big scorer that we need him to be?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the guy, he's a great talent. You know, I see this whole team being aggressive. Even Berea, you know, Jason Terry, I like the aggressiveness of the whole team. I think they're all playing a lot better.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Let me bring Chosen on real quick. Chosen, you're here live with us on the RS Sports Radio show. What do you think about Caron Butler and his game?
Well, I think Caron Butler is definitely going to contribute, and he's going to be consistent at what he does. It's going to be interesting to see how the season develops. I'm still not convinced that the Mavericks still have the full pieces of the puzzle in place to win a championship, especially beat the Lakers in the West. But I definitely think that they're going to compete at a higher level than they've probably been doing in the past, you know, 2-3 years.
Yeah, I think this team is off to a great start. But as you said, and Royce, you say it all the time, this is a regular season team. We got to find out what these guys are going to do in the playoffs before we can say anything. You know, me and you, we talk about that all the time. Let's listen to a little bit of what Caron Butler had to say about his play that night against the Rockets and getting hot in the third quarter, and then we'll take some callers after that as well. Here's Caron Butler on the RS Sports Radio show.
Just staying with it and, you know, taking advantage of opportunities. Just catching, shooting the ball, and, you know, obviously Jason Kidd telling me just come off the curl and be ready, and exactly what I did.
Well, this could be kind of a trap game after the great teams that you guys have been playing, but
we
didn't let down.
Definitely,
at all.
Definitely. And we didn't want to fall into that. You know, we knew that coming into this game, and we knew that we had to create our own, you know, energy, and, you know, had to police ourselves a lot out there on the court, if that makes any sense. You know, just stand on each other, you know, didn't want to drop the energy, and that's exactly what we did. And that second group really helped us. And then the third quarter, we got it going and, you know, sealed the game.
It's almost like deja vu for you guys, like the Miami game, where they came on strong at the end of the first half and then took over in the third quarter.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it was a collective effort. Like I said, you know, we did a great job of getting stops and getting out of transition and, you know, believing in the offense and, you know, playing with the greatest point guard, one of the best ever. And, you know, he did a great job of just getting me going in the third and, you know, we sealed the game.
Also, the defense tonight, how big was that?
The defense was huge. You know, Tyson, Brendan, you know, all of us on the perimeter as well. You know, it was a collective effort. We did a great job of making their key guys, you know, take difficult shots. And, you know, once we limited the second chance opportunities in the first half because they was killing us on the boards, but we did a great job in the second half and getting out and getting into our stuff.
When you're on a run like that in the third quarter, do you think you can miss put everything to the bottom of it?
I felt pretty good, you know. You know, felt real good, and you know, obviously with that flow going, you know, you just, you know, you get in one of those zones, and your teammates just keep feeding you and finding you, and you know, that's what you want to do, just continue to shoot the ball.
Brian, when you have a stretch like you guys did with 4 games, 5 nights, and you go 4-0, to have a game like this that you don't let down, how encouraging is that to the way you respond?
I mean, it's very encouraging. I mean, in the locker room, that's all we were preaching, though. You know, just, you know, stay on it. Put the pedal to the metal. Keep going, you know, keep pushing and finish this game the right way. And we did a great job of doing that collectively.
And that was Caron Butler on the RS Sports Radio Show talking about his hot third quarter and his play, not just in the game against the Rockets, but for the season. Let me bring on the call on the line real quick, and call, identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number, 0269. You're live on the RS Sports Radio Show. Who do we have here?
What's up, man? It's Ham Rothstein.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm all right, man. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing good, doing good. You have a comment about the Mavs? Anything you've seen against the Rockets or their play overall so far this season?
Yeah, their play overall this season to me, man, I just doubled back for the past 2 or 3 years. I think that, you know, they're going to win 50-plus games, maybe even 60. They're going to give opposing teams matchup fits with the 2-3 matchup zone. You know, the Lakers struggled with it against Phoenix last year in the playoffs, but you still got to win 4 out of 7 games in a series against a grounded-out, decided-out team in the NBA like the Los Angeles Lakers, or the San Antonio Spurs, so to speak. So I think at the end of the day, man, I think Dirk has that dog in him to just say, give me the ball, or get on the block by 10 feet out at the elbow and post up and make a move or make somebody else or create an open shot for somebody else when it comes down to it. And I honestly think that Avery Johnson should have never been fired. You know, I mean, those are my biggest problems with the Mavericks, man. I see, just think they got the good chemistry. I like all that. I like what Caron Butler brings to the table. But at the end of the day, man, you still got to go against the likes of a Kobe Bryant, a Kevin Durant, a Brandon Roy. I mean, and, you know, guys like Chris Paul. So I just think the Mavericks have a good team. They might finish second in the West, maybe third. But maybe in the second round, I just see them phasing out.
Yeah. Well, they've done that before in the past. It wouldn't be nothing new at all. Now, you bring up an interesting point about Avery. Avery's going to be on the show here in a couple of weeks when he comes to town, back with his New Jersey Nets team. Would you really feel like Cuban made another mistake? I mean, I think he made a big mistake letting Nash go, personally. Right. But you think he made a huge mistake by letting Avery go?
I really did, and I honestly think he made another huge mistake of letting go Devin Harris. I mean, he was a young guy, up-and-coming talent, and then Jason Kidd is a future Hall of Famer in the NBA and whatnot. I can't take away nothing that the man has done in the NBA, but at the same time, when you have a young star like Devin Harris that is locking up Tony Parker in the playoffs or trading shots for Jason Terry and the Finleys or whatnot, and Dirk, he had good chemistry with that team. Why break it up?
That's a good point. Well, we thank you for calling in. You're more than welcome to call in anytime, Colin.
I appreciate it, man. Y'all have a good night. I enjoy the show.
All right, good. You know, Rodney, Caron Butler brought up a good point when he said the second unit. And this second unit can play with anybody. And I think that's a big difference this year, too. You got to have a second unit that can come out and compete, you know, with anybody. So I do see that difference. He did bring that up.
Yeah, you're right about that. Ricky, you heard the call. I mean, everybody's still waiting to see what this team's going to do in the playoffs. I mean, for what you've seen, I know it's early in the season, but you think they'll be a better playoff team?
Well, I mean, if they can sustain the play that they have right now, I definitely think they can. I mean, because give the Mavericks credit. You know, I made comments about them, you know, having to defend at home, and they've been doing exactly that, you know. And, you know, they started off slow with that. And if you can always defend home good, you know, you have that opportunity to go deep into the playoffs. And the Mavs, that 2-3 zone that that the caller talked about, that 2-3 zone, it works pretty good for the Mavs. The Mavs is a good defending team.
Yeah. Well, I think the 2-3 zone works a lot better now, the fact that they have Tyson Chandler, you know, down low, or Brandon Haywood that could come in and cause some problems down low as well, too, because the whole problem with the Mavs defense has been their anchor down low. We now know what Dan Pierce is capable of doing. He's going to give you 4 points and four fouls every night. So having Tyson Chandler, I think, is huge. And we'll talk to Donnie Nelson about the addition of Tyson Chandler to the team as well. Let me play something
especially
real quick.
Especially when he's bringing you in, you know, 12 and 15 rebounds, you know, a night.
Right.
You know, you have to appreciate good hustle play like that.
Now, the caller mentioned a good thing about Devin Harris. I did talk to our point guard this year, Jason Kidd, one-on-one, about how he feels about the team. He is a Hall of Fame. He's got a Hall of Fame career so far. And we talked to him about how he feels about how good this team is and how good this team can be. This is Jason Kidd on the RS Sports Radio Show.
Caron talked about in the third quarter how you basically just set him up to get the shots. Did you see something out there on the floor that really gave the edge to get open like this?
He was putting the ball in the basket.
Yeah.
So as any point guard or any player on the floor, you got to get the guy who's hot. And he was going there in the third, so we just try to get him on the move and get him in different spots to get looks, and he was knocking them down.
Good. But you guys won some real tough games against some big opponents. How do you not let down against teams like Houston and Minnesota coming up?
Well, we had a big emotional week last week with the 4 or 5 nights, and this was an easy game to just come in and be flat. But we're a veteran ball club, and we had to take care of business, so we did that.
Cool. Now, you've been on a lot of teams throughout your Hall of Fame career. Let's go ahead and say that. What do you feel about this team right now?
No, this is a good team. We feel, you know, we trust one another. The biggest thing is our locker room is good. You know, we cheer each other on no matter who puts the ball in the basket. So it's a lot of fun to be around these guys.
Cool.
Now, of course, Jessica, that is a politically correct answer. He didn't want to make anyone mad on the team. But I think he's got to feel good about having players like Tyson Chandler that can go up and grab alley-oops, they can get rebounds, they can set the offense back up again. I mean, Rick, wouldn't you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what Jason Kidd, that's what he does. You know, he gets out there, and that's his thing. He do that for bread and meat, man. He loves throwing the alley-oop pass and assisting the ball and getting other people involved in the game, and he likes playing defense, too. Throughout his career, Jason Kidd hadn't been known as a big scorer, although he can do it. He's gotten a lot better with his jump shot, although, you know, he'd still be a little bit more consistent, but, you know, he's got a lot better with the three-point jump shot if he's sitting out there, especially by himself, you know. But he likes to create things on the floor and get other people involved. I mean, that's his get-up-and-go.
Russ, what do you think about that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think his three-point percentage is went up this year, too. I know since he used to be hesitant about taking that shot, but I think he feels confident in the shooting it now. And you're right, he's a future Hall of Famer. We talked about them, Mark Cuban is doing a lot of stuff wrong. Well, one thing he did right was brought Jason Kidd back. So he's a future Hall of Famer, yeah.
You know, and the other callers have a good point about, you know, letting go of Avery Johnson and Devin Harris. You know, I agree with those two. You know, I would have kept Avery Johnson around, and I definitely would have kept Devin Harris around because of the youth. You know, you never know how good a player can be, you know, especially when he gets put into the right system. As far as Nash is concerned, you know, Nash is a very good player, one of the best point guards to play, can shoot, get people involved. I'm not sure if I would have kept him or not. You know, it turns out that it was a bad deal. You know, at that given time, though, I'm not sure if I would have kept him or not. You know, because Nash has always been a liability on the defensive end, and he got down there in Phoenix and just got put into a system where he could just, you know, go out and create for everybody. You know, and he didn't have that kind of team in Dallas, you know?
Yeah, but in that typical of the math, we can go all the way back to Mark Aguirre, Dale Ellis. Derek Harper. They traded away everybody. I mean, that's typical Mavericks. You know, they got rid of a lot of good players, and a lot of people left Dallas and went on to do great things. So that's typical Dallas. But I do like this team they have on the floor now. I really think that they're better than the team they had the last 2 years. And I think they can get out the first and second round. I don't think they're the best team in the West, but all they need to do is get in that fourth or fifth spot. The first spot is not a good spot to be in because, you know, 8-1 and 8, 2-7. But if they can play right to start out their first round at 4 or 5 spot, I think they can make it to the second round.
Now, you guys bring up the changes that the Mavericks have made. I had an opportunity to speak to the main person involved with these changes, and we've been critical of him in years past, and that was Mavs GM Donnie Nelson. I asked him specifically about the team this year and also the addition of Tyson Chandler, why they made the decision and how big of a decision it was. So this is GM Donnie Nelson from the Mavs talk on the R Sports Radio Show.
I mean, you know, you feel good about all the moves you do. Otherwise, you wouldn't do them, right?
Mm-hmm.
This one... Hey, until you take the cake out of the oven, you just never know. You know, you feel good about the ingredients, but I think what he's provided us in terms of just his emotion, not to mention his athleticism, those intangible things mean a lot, you know. If you look at a guy like Jason Kidd and Dirk, those guys have logged a lot of games. And we needed a little punch in our front line. It was pretty clear with the starts that we were getting, and, you know, Rick was looking for a lot of different combinations, but when a guy like Tyson comes in, he really energizes our starting core. You know, when you're Dirk and Jason, you know you got to be there in the fourth quarter.
Right.
So sometimes you're kind of using reserve power a little bit, you know, and to start the game out. And you can't have that because all of a sudden you're in the hole 10 or 15 points and 6 minutes left to go, and it takes it out of you mentally, and you got to dig yourself out of these holes. And so with Tyson coming in, he's getting some easy baskets. He's Jason loves it because it gives him a different dimension, you know, on those pick and rolls. It's not just do-si-do Dirk over here, and you know, you got Ron over there, but he can actually throw the ball up, and someone with his athleticism can get some easy baskets. And so anyways, we felt good about it this summer. We thought it was good for the franchise, but it's nice to see it, you know, actually taking hold.
Do you guys think you're getting really the benefit of him playing so much ball over the summer with, you know, being the center for the USA team?
I think it helped him from a confidence standpoint because you just don't know how your injury is going to handle itself. And then when you're playing over there against that competition, you got a lot of games coming at you. I think that you got it. I think it really built some confidence, got his timing down. So when he hit training camp, he was ready to go.
Of course, guys, I could not let him go without asking him about future changes. If we all know the Mavs, you know they're mid-season trade team. They're always looking to kind of make roster changes right before they go into a playoff run and try to put something together. And the coach is always left with trying to deal with new players and putting in the system and teaching these guys a system that they've been running all year long. So I had to ask him, of course, about that. So here's some comments from Mavs GM Donnie Nelson about Tyson Chandler long-term and also about more changes to come for the team.
Yeah, I mean, with Tyson, you don't know what the future holds. I mean, we know he's here, and we know we like him, and we know he likes us. And yeah, your hope is that when you have that kind of chemistry, as a general manager, you look for reasons to keep it that way.
Yeah.
So, who knows what the market is going to bear in the summer? Who knows? You know, we can't predict those things. I do know. The proof's in the pudding. We've had a tremendous amount of success with kind of the 1-2 punch, you know, if you will, at the center spot. We've got our own little bullpen, you know, and when you've got Tyson with his athleticism and versatility, and you got B. Hay coming in with the more conventional aircraft carrier, if you will, of center shot blocking and patrol the paint, it gives you real versatility in the position. And that's, I think, what really good teams can do. You know, whether we can go against a run and gun up and down team and throw Tyson out there, and we can go against your big, you know, low post centers and have a defender like B. Hay match up.
You sit with this team? Or, I mean, I know the Mavericks are...
Never set.
Okay.
Any general manager says we're set,
right,
is lying.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're in an upgrade business.
Hmm.
And you're always out there. You're always looking for ways to make your team better. I'm not a proponent of just change for change's sake,
right,
you know. When you do have something that's playing well, you better make sure that you're... The changes that you potentially will make or could make are ones that are for significantly upgrade reasons, you know. So we're not looking to do anything lateral. So put yourself in our lap.
All right, so you guys heard Donnie Nelson talk about Tyson Chandler coming to the team and keeping him long term. And, of course, like he said, they're not done changing this team. So my question to you guys, if they do make a change, what change do you see them making, and what change do you think will be a big benefit for them? And if Royce, I ask you first.
Well, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, and it depends on who's out there, but, you know, one or two players come available. I can see it, but the chemistry of this team is just fine. Now, they need to lock Tyson Chandler down. And it's nice to have an active center for a change, somebody you can throw the ball to and get results from. And I think that's a big difference in this team, too. We got an active center and a truth center. You know, I can't remember a time on this team when they had a truth center, you know, like they have now. So who knows? And like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if the Mavericks do make a change. It wouldn't surprise me, but look for one to come. It's typical Mavericks.
Rick, what do you think? You think you heard him talk about if a GM says that he's not done changing the roster, then he's lying, basically. I mean, what do you think? You
of course.
Know, if any change needs to be made, do they need a change? And if they do, what change do they think needs to be made?
Well, I mean, I agree with Royce. I mean, I think the chemistry it works really well for this team. You know, I mean, give them credit because, in my opinion, right now I'm not saying that they are the best team, but right now they are playing like the best team in the NBA. You know, they are out there, they're on a nice little streak, and they're able to beat the bad teams, they're able to beat the good teams. You know, so that being said, I think the chemistry is good. But if they had to make a change, if you just had to choose a situation, it would have to be at the 2 and the 3 spot, you know, which would include your Jason Terrys and your Caron Butlers. You know, they have a capable center, you know, and for the way the Mavs play, they don't need a whole lot of scoring out of that particular position. You should have it. In my opinion, it's always best to have a center that could score. But they don't necessarily need that. They're getting that point, those points out of Dirk. And I know they wouldn't attempt to trade, you know, a Dirk or a Jason Kidd, move them out of those particular situations, not at this point in time. You know, so if they had to upgrade, it would have to be at the 2 and the 3 spot, you know, someplace where they could get more consistency because, truth be told, those are the two spots that are usually up and down.
Yeah, I agree. And speaking of the 2 spot, I thought it was interesting, too. I found out right at the end of the press conference, we were getting ready to leave after Coach Carlisle had answered some questions. And he stopped us all and said, hey, I just want to let everybody know, quick update, but I'm moving Dominique Jones to the D League. He's going to start tonight for the Texas Legends in their season opener in Frisco. What is it with Coach Carlisle and these rookies? I mean, he does this to the rookies all the time. We saw what happened with Roddy Bois last year. He came in and played huge during the San Antonio series and didn't get in the game until, 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter in the next game after scoring 30 points in a playoff game. Now he takes his number 2 guard that they drafted from South Florida, Dominique Jones, and moves him to the D League. I mean, what is Coach Carlisle's deal about these rookies, Royce? I mean, why would he not play these rookies?
You know, Ryan, that's a very good question. Last year, I was ready to call for his head on the chopping block because I'm not happy with all the decisions he makes with this team, but he is the coach, and whatever he's doing now is working. But I don't know. I'm like you. I think he has this thing for rookies, you know, and that's one guy that should stay with the team and develop. I mean, you got to look down the line, too. Jason Kidd, you know, how many more years is he going to play? So I don't understand that. Maybe he knows something we don't know. Maybe he needs a little more development. Who knows? I have always questioned Carlisle, you know, but I can't question him now because whatever he's doing now is working. So we'll
Rick,
see.
Rick, what do you think about that, about Dominique Jones moving to the D League and the way Coach Carlisle treats his rookies when he brings them in?
Well, I believe in giving anybody an opportunity if they get out there and show you that they have a little something, you know, period, no matter what grade they're in, so to speak. You know, it doesn't really matter to me. If they can go out there and hold their own and show you something, I believe in giving them an opportunity. But I can't disagree with Carlisle's philosophy. You know, because in his deal, you know, he needs wins, you know, and wins for him, it comes with trust, you know, and he just doesn't necessarily trust the rookies. You know, Roddy Bois, you know, everybody was crying for that boy to get out there and play.
You know, we're
sitting there thinking, we don't care about trust. The boy's putting the ball in the hole.
Right.
You know, he's worried about turnovers and worrying about sustaining a particular possession and stuff like that on the floor. You know, so he's looking at it from a whole different aspect, you know, so I can't disagree with him, you know. And what I haven't seen anything in Dominique Jones that just warrants, you know, play on the floor. I can't say, you know, by going to the D-League or whatnot, but I haven't seen anything that just, you know, tells me get that boy in the game and keep him out there for a little while. Not yet. You know, Roddy Bois was a different story. He was out there showing out.
Maybe
I asked Coach Carlisle exactly why he's moving him to the D-League. He said basically because he feels like in the D-League he can get more playing time. He knows that Coach Nancy Lieberman is a good coach that could teach him some good stuff, and he said it was just a benefit to have a D-League so close to the team where he can go and get some playing time. And I asked Donnie Nelson how long would he be there. He didn't give me a real answer. He said, well, a couple of games. Then I asked him, well, does this mean that Roddy is coming back soon? And he wouldn't answer that question. So I guess stay tuned on that front. But we talked a lot of Mavs talk. We're going to get into a little NFL talk. Before we switch gears real quick, let's listen to another quick commercial break, pay a couple of bills. If you guys have a business or any kind of website, blog, whatever you want to advertise, if you'd like to advertise with the RS Sports Radio Show, the fastest growing internet radio show on the web right now, make sure you email us at rssportsradio@gmail.com. That's rssportsradio@gmail.com. We'll be back with some NFL talk.
What's up out there with it, world?
What's up with it?
It's your boy Chosen. Man, and I'm back in the building, you dig? And for all of y'all that haven't already done it, you know what I'm saying? Go out there and join IcebreakerProductions.com right now. Support your favorite ICE artist right now. You know what I'm saying? Get a ringtone. Get a t-shirt. Buy the calendar right now. Or you can even pick up a teddy bear. You know what I'm talking about? We got everything.
Got everything.
Every Wednesday, y'all need to be checking out the Icebreaker Radio Show at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time.
7 p.m.
Where can you hear it? IcebreakerProductions.com. You know what I'm saying? Scroll down about the middle of the page and click on the player, and you got us. You know what I'm saying? And if that ain't working for you, hop on iTunes and listen to us on the podcast. I ain't tripping. You know, you can get us on anywhere. And if you really want to know what's going down at all times with Icebreaker Productions, you got to follow us on Twitter at Icebreaker Radio. And if you're a Facebook lover, hit us up, Icebreaker Productions. You know what it do. And for all of y'all that like them live, fresh videos, you know you can follow us on the YouTube channel, Chosen972.
Right now.
If you're feeling the old school and, you know what I'm saying, you still on MySpace, hit us up, 972. We ain't tripping. And without further ado, we're going to go ahead and hop into this album, the reason that you're hearing my voice.
Uh-huh.
You like one of these artists, you know what I'm saying? So get your jam on, get your lean on.
Yeah.
And I'll be back at you later on in the future with more ICE announcements. Already.
Want to thank Icebreaker.com, IcebreakerProductions.com for advertising with the show. They do have a show on Blog Talk Radio also. You can find them at blogtalkradio.com/RF. Icebreaker Radio is where you can find them at. Let's get into some NFL action real quick. Let's bring on my co-pilot, Royce, my NFL analyst, Rick. Now, we got a lot to talk about real quick here. Now, the big story, of course, from Sunday, and we were on Friday, so we talked about Thanksgiving games. But Sunday, let's talk real quick about the fight. Now, I know both of you guys saw this fight. Y'all saw Andre Johnson basically whoop Carson Finnegan on the field. Now, the aftermath of this, what happened was, well, first of all, Houston beat them 20-0. It was a blowout game. Houston was all over them. Tennessee couldn't do nothing on offense. We all know Finnegan, he's been in trouble twice already this season for fighting or for some type of penalty similar to a fight. And basically, Andre just had enough of it, you know, put some hands on him real quick. Everyone's seen it by now. If you haven't seen it, go to YouTube and just search for Andre Johnson. It's going to pop up everywhere. But from what you guys saw, I mean, these guys only got a $25,000 fine. No suspensions were handed out. And, Rick, do you think this is the right call? Do you think just the fine is okay? Or do you think some of these guys need to sit down?
I mean, I think for that situation, a fine is okay. I mean, the NFL seems to, you know, get most of those situations right. They gave Richard Seymour a pass last week, you know, for punching Roethlisberger. Now, it wasn't of that situation, but he did punch the dude, you know, or push him down or whatever the case was, you know. Now, if they – I do think the NFL should send warnings to both teams for the next time that they play and let them know if any type of altercations there, somebody's going to be ejected. You know, I don't even think, you know, it's within the collective bargain agreement to suspend somebody for that, you know, type of fight. Now, had it escalated where both teams cleared both benches and you got 50 million people all over the field, it could be a different situation, though. But Man, Andre put them things on that boy, you know, and what got me is, it, you know, I never seen Andre act like that.
Yeah.
You know, I know he had it in him. You know, he looked like he got it in him. The boy's from Florida somewhere, son. You know, I mean, you know, he had it in him. You know, and Courtland Finnegan, you know, he's always seemed like a dirty player. I don't really know him as a person. But, you know, any time that I've ever watched Tennessee play, I'm always seeing Courtland Finnegan do something. You know,
yeah.
And Andre put them nucks on that boy right there, man.
Russ, what do you think about this fight?
I learned two things from this fight. Number one, you never take your helmet off. And number two, you don't mess with Andre Johnson. I never swing on it. But anyway, they were right in living the fine. You know, you can't have that. That's really not good for the sport. And you know, I got to get his commission. I don't always agree, but he's keeping it under control. And I, you know, that's the reason why we don't see more of these. You know, and I hope we don't. And you know, Tennessee's all. You know, they people always say they're the dirtiest team in football. So the boy, he asked for it, and that's two things
and
I know. You never take it. He got it. You don't take your helmet off. I know that. Everybody should got something from that. You know, don't take your helmet off.
I guess the question is, you don't take your helmet off, but do you rip the other dude's helmet off? And that was the
Right.
Let me welcome Chosa back on the program real quick. And Chosa, I want to get your comments on this fight between Courtland Finnegan and Andre Johnson. First of all, what do you think about the fight? Do you think it was okay that they only got a fine and no suspension?
Well, you know, I think enough is enough when it comes to just all-out discipline and fining. This is entertainment. And, I mean, at some point in time, you know, you just have to let the things go. You know, there comes a point in time, I think, when it may be necessary to hit anybody. But I got to say, I agree with Royce. You don't put your helmet off. But, you know, my take on it was very entertaining. I bet the ratings shot through the roof. I know when I saw the highlights and I heard about the story, it definitely caught my attention. So, you know, it wasn't a big player brawl, which is why I don't think that there was a big major suspension and both players were involved. And if you hit a person in their pocketbook good enough, you know, they'll learn their lesson.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you on that. Speaking of fines, we had another fine that was levied from Sunday. I don't know if you guys have heard this already, but good old the huge contributor to the NFL payroll, Mr. James Harrison, was fined $25K today for a hit that he had on Ryan Fitzpatrick of the Buffalo Bills. And he actually got flagged for roughing the passer on the hit, but it was the same hit that he laid on Jason Campbell the week before. They got the same flag. Now, total, Mr. Harrison has paid the NFL $125,000 this season. For just having some hits and being an aggressive player. Now, here's what his comments were. He said, "I was not expecting a fine. It's the exact same thing as last week. It was the same exact hit. I hit him, meaning Fitzpatrick, the same way I did the quarterback from Oakland, got the same flag, but didn't get a fine. So I'm expecting the same thing on this." And then also when his coach, when he found out about the fine, Mike Tomlin said, obviously he does because the league doesn't agree with him, and my opinion doesn't matter. So he's trying to stay far away from it because he didn't want to end up paying $25K. Right.
I
mean, what's the deal with James Harrison? Does he really need to stop playing? Because he's an aggressive guy, but, I mean, he's getting fined for everything. I mean, any kind of flag, I mean, isn't the flag enough? Why fine a guy $25K for a roughing the passer hit?
Well, you know, everybody knows they protect these quarterbacks. That's one thing they do. So many of them getting knocked out in concussion. That's just, you know, you got to get used to that as part of the game. You know, they protect these quarterbacks. I mean, you can't even hardly put your hands on the quarterback anymore. I don't know if I agree with it or disagree with it, but that's just the nature of the game.
Now, what do you think about that, Chosen? I mean, you think this guy, I mean, he's the biggest contributor to the NFL right now. I mean, I hope they're giving his money to charity because he's raising some nice coin for the NFL right now. But, I mean, hitting the flag enough for roughing the pass, I mean, they get, what, 15 yards and a new set of downs? I mean, why finally got 25
and money?
Well, single-handedly, this is, I think, an effort to, you know, make the game a little bit softer, and they wanted to make an example out of somebody. I don't agree with a late hit, and I would say that, you know, if you make a habit out of doing it, then, yeah, you know, a fine is there because, you know, as a quarterback, you know, if a person misses the block or if there's nobody to catch that block, and I remember from playing my days in high school with you, you know, that is really a lethal blow to take. And I mean, you know, when you have the likes of like Reggie White and Bruce Smith and, you know, Mike Singletary coming in and you know, I would definitely hate to take a hit from Ray Lewis. That would not be nice at all. So a late hit, you know, yeah, fine them or helmet to helmet, fine them. But, you know, I don't think they should really sensitize the game. You know, this is not baseball. This is not basketball. This is football, Americano.
Right. But you know, if you don't stop, you're going to get quarterbacks in their broadcast and move going da 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 da. You know, so.
Wow.
You know, I mean, think about it. They already getting balanced from not being knocked unconscious. You're gonna have them studying in the booth. So, it is a lethal blow. It really is. It really is a lethal blow. You can really hurt somebody. You know.
It seemed like to me. I mean, you know, if I was James Harrison, I would, you know, be saying, you know, what do I need to do to take myself out of this position?
Right. Right.
You know, why do I keep putting myself in that particular situation?
Right. Right.
You know, if it's bothering me like that. I know he's an aggressive person, you know, by nature. He's a linebacker in the NFL. He's aggressive without question, and he doesn't know how to turn his motor off. He's going to have to figure out a way to do that. You know, maybe with that Jason Kendall situation, the NFL saw it, but it's just kind of like, well, you know, I'm going to turn my head on this. You know, and then he comes back and he do the same thing. It's like, look, man, I can't keep turning my head on it now. Come on.
Right.
You know, it could be that kind of situation. You know?
Yeah, I think that's more so the case. They kind of let him slide because, like, hey, we can't keep firing this guy. But if he's going to do it repeatedly, you know. But if they were going to play it that way, all they had to do was send the guy an email or a letter saying, hey, you know, that hit you had, you know, do this and do that. But, you know, it's so hard to change your style of football. When you grew up playing a certain way,
right.
You know,
right.
We all grew up, you know, you had to lay your hat. You had to put your helmet down and hit somebody. That's why you got a helmet on. And it's so hard to kind of break that mold. I mean, something like this has to start from Pee Wee football on up. Because I guarantee you right now in Pee Wee football, they probably got more injuries than in the NFL because they still teaching – everyone to go head first, head up. You know, we always learned that when we played football growing up. So something like this got to start kind of early. Before we jump into the next story, y'all guys want to find out who won the picks this week?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see who won. Find out.
Now,
we had two guys that tied for 11-4, and last place ended up at 9-6, and the winner was 12-3. So, again, Royce, for the second week in a row, you win the picks. You won 12-3 this week. You only lost three games this week. You only lost the Eagles in the Bears game, the Rams and the Broncos, and the Cardinals in the 49ers game on the games that you lost. You went 3-0 on Thursday, so congratulations.
I'm not surprised. I told you I had a broom, man.
I'm sweeping
the rest of the season.
Hey, and really, me and you went 11-4. The games you missed on, of course, the Cowboys game, the Titans game, the Eagles, and the Colts, the teams that you missed. And I went 11-4. Also, I missed on the Cowboys, the Packers, the Colts, and the Cardinals. And Chosen, my friend, I know you knew the picks, but man, you're 9-6 is your second week in a row in last place. You missed
on the Cowboys. He said top
or bottom, and no in the middle, man. Right, yeah. You missed on the Cowboys, the Titans, Eagles, Broncos, Bucks, and Colts. So, of course, you get everyone to get a chance to redeem themselves on Thursday's show when we get to pick again, and Roy should be picking for the second week first. So, congrats.
Well, let me ask you a question right quick. What in that did y'all have in common? I think it was the Cowboys. Oh, yeah, paint the Cowboys.
Hey, and more days to it.
So keep thinking of Cowboys, and I keep winning.
Well, Royce, you know that could have gone either way now. That could have gone either way.
For real. Yeah, I've been in there for 8 weeks. So, hey, what are you gonna do?
I'm not fooling with him.
Ten weeks.
Now, before we go, let's talk a little bit about the Monday night game last night. The 49ers beat the Cardinals, and the 49ers on the road. They put up 27 points. They won 27-6 against the Cardinals. Cardinals couldn't get anything done. No touchdowns, only kicked 2 field goals in the first half. Derek Anderson had a terrible game with 16 for 35, 196 yards. Troy Smith was decent, 11-23, 129 yards, one touchdown. Westbrook was the story for this game. He had 23 carries, 136 yards, one TD. And, of course, if you guys don't know, but they lost Frank Gore for the rest of the season. He's out with a hip injury for the rest of the season. It's going to hurt them trying to climb back into the West race. But the thing for the story from this game was after the game on this one, too. Now, if you guys haven't seen this already, but Derek Anderson, he basically got charged up by a reporter in the crowd. The reporter said, hey, all the fans, including myself, watched you on national football, sitting on the sidelines, cracking jokes, smiling like everything's funny. And the guy asked him, hey, man, what's funny about losing by 18? You know, what's so funny about this? Let's listen to that a little bit, because I think this is classic right here for what happened. This is Derek Anderson's comments after the Monday Night Football game.
What Deuce and I talk about is nobody else's business.
Well, why was something funny when you're down 18 points in the fourth quarter?
It wasn't funny. I wasn't laughing about anything.
The camera showed you.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious. Real serious. I put my heart and soul into this every single week.
All I'm saying is the camera shows.
I'm just telling you right now what I do every single week. Every single week. I put my freaking heart and soul into this. I study my ass off. I don't go out there and laugh. It's not funny. Nothing's funny to me. I don't want to go out there and get embarrassed on Monday Night Football in front of everybody.
That's why I'm asking you.
I'm telling you right now. We're talking. Deuce and I are talking.
What was the context?
I'm done. Sorry.
I'm not dealing with it.
And there was Derek Anderson after the reporter basically charged him up about what's so funny on the sidelines when your team was down by 18 points. I like this, man. I like the fact that the reporter went ahead and asked him straight up what he felt, what was on his mind. I mean, Royce, what do you think about this exchange? And you think the reporter asked a good question?
Yeah, because I saw it too. I thought it was kind of odd him sitting over there laughing on the bench and they were losing, you know, and then to come out and say, I wasn't laughing. Yeah, you know, it's okay to laugh. You know, you couldn't say the guy told me a joke. But I saw that, too. And if that was his best that he played Monday night, I hate to see his worst because he was terrible.
Yeah. Rick, what'd you think about that exchange?
Well, I mean, you know, I think one of the two things is going to happen, you know. He's going to steal on dude when he see him outside, or he's going to cry when he get in the car. You know, one of the two. He was thoroughly embarrassed about, you know, that guy asking that comment. You know, and, you know, it was a good, asking that question. It was a good question, you know, I mean, because the guy saw it. So, you know, he's the quarterback of that team. He should be responsible enough to answer the question. You know, he could have, you know, made up something or told them exactly what they was laughing about, whatever it was. You know, could have been one of those, man, we got to laugh, you know, so we don't get mad and pissed off because we're getting our butts whipped out here. You know, there's no telling what it was, you know. But I think he was a little sensitive about that and the way that they got beat. I can't say that I blame him, you know. And I think he stormed off at the end of that too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did. He walked right off. He didn't answer any more questions.
Yeah.
I mean, Chosen, what are your comments about this?
Don't cry when he get in the car.
Yeah.
basically, when critics or the press or the media is focusing in on your performance, I just think you have to be on your P's and Q's.
Right.
You know, just like celebrities with the paparazzi.
Right.
And
right.
they caught him
right.
with his pants down, and
right.
he was embarrassed about it. He didn't have a good thing to say. He has a comeback
right. Right.
rather than loud BS to people. You know, he comes with the violin music. And at the end
right.
of the day, you know, the dude from the press was right. You are responsible for playing your role, and you get paid millions of dollars. And the people
right.
of your city want to see you win. And you're right. It's a
right.
Monday night football game. You know, you just basically have to be on your guard, man. You know, nothing's funny about losing like that at all.
And I think the worst part about it was he was terrible. You know, he played horrible that night.
You know, Jimmy Johnson, you know, I want to say this. You know, when Jimmy Johnson was the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, I remember an interview where Jimmy was as red as an apple fresh
right.
getting picked off the
right.
tree. And he said, "You see something right. funny?" You know,
right.
there was nothing funny about losing. And that's the attitude that I think is missing from a lot of NFL teams right now.
Right. Yeah, right. You're right. He even fired a guy for sleeping in a meeting, remember?
Yeah.
Right.
Tell the truth, though, it did seem like that reporter was kind of jugging him a little bit, though.
He asked
the question, and he just, you know, steady going. Well, all
right.
I'm saying is, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I saw it on TV.
He kind of promoted that.
Yeah.
Right, he did. But I clearly saw it, and I don't know y'all did too. I thought, you know, that really is hard for him to be over there laughing as horrible as he played. You know what I mean? It wasn't that funny in that. You know,
Les
Scott told him he stuck. You know, that was funny. Yeah, man.
49ers didn't beat them. The 49ers literally beat them up, man. The worst thing that came out of that game for the 49ers is that they lost Frank Gore. Other than that, man, they went out there and spanked the hell out of them boys.
But it shows that there was a lack of focus, I think.
It shows that
there was a lack of focus.
Right.
In my high school days of playing football, if you were losing, you knew there was nothing to laugh about because the starters were
right.
upset if you weren't starting. And then you knew if you weren't starting, you weren't about to get in the game. So, again,
right.
there's just nothing funny
about losing. Let's welcome on real quick. We got about 2 minutes left in the program. Our late bloomer, as always, the number one patriot in America. Chris, you're on the line, man. What's going on?
Hey, man. Winning is hard, man, but somebody's got to do it every week. I hope everybody stay with glorious as mine with a win. Matter of fact, I don't think it was, man. Some of y'all had a pretty hard turn today. But it's all good, man. Maybe y'all have a better postseason, you know what I'm saying?
We'll see. Chris, I don't know if you heard some of the comments about Derek Anderson, but I want you to make sure you own the show for a long period of time next Thursday, because we're going to discuss, and this is a preview for next Thursday, but we're going to discuss Rex Ryan and how much trash he talks to the Patriots. Now, Rex Ryan ain't scared of the Patriots. He talks about Belichick. He talks about Brady. So we're going to get into a little audio from that on Thursday. Are you going to be around for that show?
Yeah, I'll be around for that show, man. I mean, I hate to hear all the anti-patriotism comments and everything that have been said. You know what I mean? Y'all need to be more patriotic in a time like nowadays instead of being anti-patriotic, man. Quit being so jihad and Tea Party, man, and be a little Obama-lism. You know what I'm saying, man?
Well, you know what, Chris? Today, you know, the last couple of days, there's been all kind of secret leaks come out. It was a leak came out that Belichick was a cheater. But anyway, I'm just teasing.
Uh-huh.
I'm just teasing with you, Chris. They called him a short cheater.
True enough, we lost the Super Bowl, but that next year, after everybody called us cheaters, it wasn't nobody that beat us.
Yeah, true.
Okay, we're gonna get into that next Thursday. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show tonight. We got about 30 seconds left.
I want to thank everybody that was on the show, LeBron James, D-Wade, Jason Kidd, Mavs GM, Johnny Nelson, also Karan, Bella, and Dirk for their audio for the show tonight. It was a good show. I want to thank everybody for calling in, all the callers. We'll see you guys on Thursday where we'll talk about Rex Ryan versus Bill Belichick. We'll analyze that to the fullest, and Chris will be on for about an hour with us on that show. So you guys stay tuned for that. Until then, we'll see you guys on Thursday.
All right.